Hello, it's Tuesday, January 17th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio, which can be found at wingtv.net. We're your goodwill ambassadors for the alternative media.
Such as it is.
As it is. Now, we want to let everybody know we appeared on Frank Whalen's show this morning. If you look at the Wing TV homepage, you'll see a brief article. It says, standing ovation for Frank Whalen, and he's about as good as they come, aren't they?
That was a whirlwind. That was intense.
Yeah, the first hour we spoke about the Phantom Flight 93 hoax that took place in Shanksville. And then the second hour we talked about the Iranian Boris, this upcoming war in Iran.
And we tied it all in with 9/11.
Yeah, and it was just, when he says he has the fastest 4 hours in radio, he isn't exaggerating, because we're on for 2 hours and it seemed like 10 minutes passed.
Yeah.
And it's over already.
And it seems like every time we're on there, it's an intense experience for us.
It is. So we just want to say kudos to Frank Whalen. And if you're not listening to this guy, you should start, because he's about as good as they get. And he was the co-winner of the Wing TV 2005 Patriot Award for Radio Talk Show Host of the Year, along with Visigoth. So he's good, and, you know, there are so many phonies out there in this industry that when we have good ones, we have to hang on to them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Also then, on, what was it, Sunday, I guess, a couple days ago,
uh-huh,
there was a book signing at Barnes & Noble, our local Barnes & Noble. And I'll let Lisa tell you a little bit about the author who was there and what transpired.
Well, we went to Barnes & Noble to the book signing of Robert C. Shaler. He wrote a book called Who They Were, Inside the World Trade Center, DNA Story, The Unprecedented Effort to Identify the Missing. Dr. Shaler, or Professor Shaler, I guess I should say, he's a biologist. He's also a professor at Penn State now. And he worked with the chief medical examiner's office on 9/11 and afterwards.
In New York City.
Right, to identify the remains. And so he put out a book, and he's talking about his experiences with the victim family members and his experiences while they were in the process of trying to identify the remains of the victims of the Twin Towers.
So we attended this book signing. It was Sunday afternoon, and we sat and listened to his presentation, and we have no bone to pick with this. He's actually a very nice man, wasn't
mm-hmm.
he?
Yes, he was.
And so he went through his presentation, and then he asked for questions. So I raised my hand and started going through the controlled demolition of the World Trade Center towers. And I said, I understand this isn't your area of expertise, but I talked about how there was the molten steel found 7 stories below the towers, and on,
explained
the whole, molten metal, the whole scenario, and about Stephen Jones and
right.
Kevin Ryan and Morgan Reynolds and on. And I finally asked him if a controlled demolition would have affected his job any differently in identifying the deceased, because there were supposedly over 1,000 people who were never identified,
he
right?
He said, yeah, well, there were 1,000 people that were vaporized.
Right, right.
But he said, no, it wouldn't have affected him doing his job. And so I thought it was a little curious that he wasn't even expressing any curiosity about this. And we talked about the fires, how they didn't burn hot enough or long enough to melt steel. And I also asked him, considering that there were 1,000 bodies that were vaporized, that are unable to be identified, doesn't this suggest to you that there was a higher energy source used?
Right.
And he stopped to think about that for a minute, and then we went on to talk about how in his book he recounts how he was able to identify match up three of the DNA samples with the terrorists. And so I thought this was kind of interesting. And it turns out he got information from the FBI. They sent him a year later some codes, some DNA mitotypes, I guess they're called.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to match up three of those DNA codes with DNA supposedly found at the World Trade Center. And the FBI sent that a year later when it should have taken 2 or 3 weeks to send him this information. And they only sent codes without corresponding names next to
right.
them.
And so he admitted he was very suspicious
uh-huh.
and has been his whole career
right.
of the FBI. So what we ended up doing was giving him a copy of 9/11 on trial. But the funniest part was that when he was giving his presentation, there were all the people sitting there. Then when Lisa and I started speaking to him and asking questions, we started looking around, and the size of those in attendance about doubled, because all these people from inside the bookstore that weren't listening to his presentation migrated over then to
uh-huh.
this area.
We were hammering them.
Yeah, and it was about I would say twice the size by the time we were done than when he gave his presentation. So all the people that were there, I don't think they really left with his book in their mind. What they left with was our questions about the controlled demolition and 9/11 being an inside job being done by the government. And this is what we want everyone to know, that if there is any kind of book signing or event like this in your hometown or your neighborhood, you have to go to it and present this information.
Right, because he said that he'd never heard any of this information before. You know, what I asked him was that how credible is this information you received from the FBI? Do you consider the FBI a credible source of information? And people started laughing when I said that, because he's saying in his book that he has identified three of the hijackers as being there. Yet, that information could have been and probably was manipulated by the FBI.
So anyway, we got a copy of his book, gave him our book, and we said we're going to stop down in a few weeks or whatever, and he assured us that he was going to read this book. So we'll keep you updated on what happens, but this is another sign of the things all of us have to do to go out there, because the people in attendance in Barnes & Noble were very curious about what we had to say, more so than what he had to say.
And when we walked up to him after the book signing was done, Victor asked him, "What if what we're saying to you is all true? What would you say then?" And he said, "Well, that raises some very, very serious issues and questions regarding our national security."
That's right. Yeah, that was probably the most important point he made. So, and he certainly didn't rule out this notion out of hand, did he?
And he didn't debate it or argue it in any way.
Right. Now, as we said yesterday on our show, we want to go over a lot of things that have been happening in the alternative media. And people seem to like these shows because we update and just fill in what everyone's been doing. And there is a lot. First thing, last week there was something going around the internet that Eustace Mullins was missing. You remember that, Lisa?
Yeah, it was an article written by John Kaminsky saying that Eustace Mullins had disappeared. And really, it was kind of alarmist, I thought.
Very alarmist, sensationalistic.
We don't know if this is the last we'll hear of Eustace Mullins.
Yeah.
I mean, very dramatic.
Well, and then by the end, there was something in there about maybe the Zionists came
snatched
and took
him away.
Snatched him away. And what it ends up being is, and Eustace missed an interview on Hesham Talawi's show. What happened was, he went to visit people in Ohio.
Yeah, Eustace has a right to do that, and he doesn't have to account to the independent media for his whereabouts, or if he decides he wants to travel and go visit friends or family. So, granted, he should have probably contacted the person he had the interview with.
Right.
But for Kaminsky to just go out on a limb and write an article, an alarmist piece, basically inferring or implying that he might have been snatched away by the ADL or Zionists is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. Another thing in this article was that the local policeman seemed nonplussed by the whole thing. Well, in all honesty, it probably happened before, or numerous times
what,
before.
You mean Eustace decided to travel before?
Yeah, and just didn't contact anyone. So, I mean, we know from personal experience with Eustace that he's not the easiest person to deal with or the easiest person to contact. Well, he's one of the hardest people to contact.
Right.
So, you know, this was just, again, such a sensationalistic element to it that all, you know, the Zionists came and snatched him away. It's like, no, he was visiting friends or relatives in Ohio. That's
kind of makes me wonder, like, is Kaminsky that hard up for material to write about that he's going to go out on a limb like that when he doesn't even know? The guy's fine. The guy was visiting people.
Yeah. And speaking of Kaminsky, Daryl Smith recently landed another blow. Well, and plus there was one other talk show host then that was contacted by Eustace Mullins, and they're like, well, this makes Kaminsky look very bad again. But let everyone know what Daryl Smith recently did.
I guess Daryl had John Kaminsky on his show on December 9th, 2005, and subsequently released a statement on his website saying, "We repudiate in the strongest terms, the statements made by John Kaminsky in his interview on 9 December 2005, which is why we deleted his audio file." Can you believe that, Victor?
Yeah.
And he says, "I apologize to my listeners for John Kaminsky's racist and xenophobic statements, and I question his motives. I believe he may be attempting to spread dangerous vitriol to elicit a draconian response from the authorities against our free speech rights."
I mean, I don't agree with these archives being deleted, but it's Daryl's show and it's his archives, but it's just another example of the negative ill will that's being placed against Kaminsky now.
He's basically saying that Kaminsky's racist, xenophobic, homophobic, and prejudiced against, and he's I don't know.
I think he's saying it's almost deliberately being done to bring in some kind of hate law or something against people, or to bring some kind of action against our free speech. I don't know, but that's what Daryl Smith is saying, and it's very interesting, you know, that the attitude is being taken.
Well, we didn't get a chance to listen to that interview, no. So we don't know how intense it actually got, but we can imagine.
Now, in regard to Mike Rupert's appearance last week on the George Norrie Show, I subsequently wrote an article that appeared last Friday, and the majority of people that contacted me definitely said Rupert's out to lunch. This whole peak oil thing is nothing but a front for big oil, and it's their way to manipulate the markets. But some people did say, you know, Victor, we've agreed with most everything you say, but with this one here, we're on Rupert's side. And one person said the reason why was because they read Matthew Simmons' book. Now, Matthew Simmons is as tied to big oil as the Pope is to the Vatican. And I told Lisa, here's a good example. Say that somebody was an apple grower, and they wanted to raise the price of apples. So they wanted to create a false scarcity or a false shortage.
Uh-huh.
So what they do is they get somebody within the apple industry, say someone like Johnny Appleseed, and they say, hey, Johnny, I want you to write an article or start some propaganda that apples are in short supply. So Johnny Appleseed does this, and pretty soon, what happens? The price of apples raises 25% the next week.
Right.
So this is what Matthew Simmons is. He's a Johnny Appleseed to the apple industry. They're all working together to create this false shortage.
He's a Johnny Appleseed to the oil industry.
To the oil industry, yeah. And anyone that's quoting these type of people, well, they're very misguided, because what are they supposed to say? They're in bed with big oil, just like Rupert is.
Well, we have another bit of bad news, too. Kurt Nimmo, researcher Kurt Nimmo, has decided to stop his blog on the web, and he wrote a statement saying, I am saddened by the fact one cannot engage in political discussion in this country without being subjected to abusive and potentially violent behavior on the part of those who disagree. I'm afraid this will only get worse in the months ahead as Bush and the neocons prepare to attack Iran. Unfortunately, there are many scary parallels between the United States in 2006 and Nazi Germany, circa the 1930s. I must stress again that I am concerned about the threats issued against my family and, first and foremost, the health of my wife. Apparently, death threats have been made against Kurt Nimmo and his family, and he's now decided to take these seriously, and his wife has asked him to remove the blog. I guess he's going to keep some portion of it live so people can still post, because a lot of people contacted him wanting him to do that. So, but he's not going to post himself anymore, and it's a shame. We can't afford a loss like this.
And he received a Wing TV award for, I think it was War Blog of the Year, or War Blog in relation to Iraq or something. So he was a very good source of information.
And I guess he's blaming it on, he thinks it's the Zionists or the ADL involved, a Zionist youth organization in part.
Yeah. And speaking of which, we had Mark Glenn on our show yesterday.
Wow.
Who
hammered
the Zionists. And one of the best, we've received more feedback, favorable feedback from that show than any in recent memory. And people loved this appearance. And one of the best points he brought out yesterday, Mark Glenn, was that he said if there were people in the alternative media that are speaking about the New World Order and they're not making Zionism a very crucial element of this New World Order, if they're not talking about Zionism, you should be very, very wary of that individual.
It should raise a red flag right away if they're not hammering those points home to you. And we all know by now, or at least should know by now, who those people are.
Oh, I mean, I'll mention the name, because we've got tons and tons of emails. They say, why doesn't Alex Jones talk about Zionism? What Alex Jones does, and Daryl Smith has been bringing this up, and Eric Huffschmidt, is he just talks about the New World Order as this faceless, nameless entity.
It's vague.
And yeah, vague. Very vague, and never gets into specifics.
Well,
and
you know what? Like, he treats it just like a concept, like Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, it's like a concept. That's a good point. And it'd be like this. It'd be like going to the doctor and saying that you shoot heroin, and the doctor doesn't, using dirty needles, And the doctor doesn't tell you that you could get AIDS from doing that. Well, if you talk about the New World Order and you don't mention Zionism as a very crucial element of it, then you might as well not talk about the New World Order at all. And everybody wants to know, why won't Alex Jones talk out against Zionism? Why won't he?
That's a good question, but as you know, Alex Jones doesn't like to answer questions, so...
Exactly. So we want to thank Mark Glenn, and it was an excellent point, that one and many others that he brought out on the show. Now, we also encourage people to speak out against these phonies in the alternative media, and it looks like many people are right now. There's a man named Robert Thorne who recently put something out. It says 9/11citizenswatch.org is a gatekeeper. And he sent this to every single person on his email list.
Now, for those of you who don't know, citizenswatch.org is Kyle Hence's group. Kyle Hence is the bogus gatekeeper 9/11 disinformation artist.
And what Robert Thorne said in this article is that Kyle Hence and 9/11 Citizens Watch are not speaking the truth. They're another diversion. And what they are doing is they are gatekeepers and limited hangouts.
They're corralling people into their little pen, and they're not hammering the controlled demolition information home. That's the crux issue.
Plus Flight 93. Right, now, we have this book out that proves 93 is a hoax, and 911truth.org and Citizens Watch completely silent on it, as they are with the Pentagon.
Well, Have you heard from too many 9/11 researchers on it? Why the silence? The deafening silence.
I mean, this is such a crucial piece to the puzzle now that we've added. Mm-hmm. And it's like the entire alternative media doesn't want the truth to come out about it. Thank God we have people like Frank Whalen and then Sam and Trish Britton tonight on the Information Corner that are going to talk about it. But what we want everybody out there to do now is... Everybody has an email list, people that they email on a frequent basis. Do the same thing that Robert Thorne did. Put out the word about these phonies, because the more we identify them, and the more we get the word out, the more we can run these bastards out of town. And we're going to have an article tomorrow about 911truth.org, their latest scheme that is so incredible, I can't even tell you how awful it is. So that'll appear tomorrow. So,
yeah, just so much going on here the last week or so. It's incredible. And we do urge you to continue contacting the mainstream media and the alternative media gatekeepers and hammering the points home to them and challenge them, because they don't like being challenged. They're not used to being challenged. And don't just challenge them once and let up. You have to keep the pressure on.
That's right. And it seems like more and more people are getting sick of these gatekeepers and these COINTELPRO agents. There's a woman named Carolyn Baker that wrote a long, I think it's like 7 or 8 pages, about Amy Goodman, basically saying that this woman is working for the CIA because she refuses to talk about 9/11 and all of these other issues. It's called Amy Goodman's Reality Blackout.
Well, we've been talking about this for a long
forever.
Time.
Forever. Yeah. And I don't know who Carolyn Baker is, but I want to thank her for putting this out here, because everybody on the left, the Libby Libs, the progressives, if that's what they want to call themselves, they're sucked into this little reality blackout that Amy Goodman's laying down, and they seem to think she's telling the truth. She's one of the biggest phonies there is of all.
And so you should really pay heed to people who are either linking to Amy Goodman and Air America or giving them a lot of kudos, because there is no kudos involved. If you're not going to talk about the truth regarding 9/11, and we were told that Amy Goodman is not going to discuss, to bring up this subject of the controlled demolition. She's not going to talk about it. She has no journalistic curiosity about it. And, you know, you have to look where she gets her money from.
How many times did you call her last year?
At least 17 times.
Yeah, 17 times. And finally, one of her people said, what did she say? Like, Amy...
Amy's not going to touch this. She's not going to talk about it. And it was mind-blowing, because we sent the book, and we're like, this is the biggest story of the 21st century.
Yeah. And if you listen to Amy Goodman, here's what we suggest you do. Walk out in your front yard after the show is done, dig a hole, and put your head in it, and then bury it with the dirt, because that's what listening to Amy Goodman is.
Or in the snow.
Yeah, in the snow. Yeah. Finally, there's a woman named Laura Knight Jadzik, who wrote an article. It's called, Is the Above Top Secret Forum COINTELPRO? And this is a long 12-page article about Above Top Secret, the people who run that site. trying to cover up for the government in regard to the Pentagon in 9/11. Uh-huh. And it's very interesting because the people behind this site are all the ones supporting the government's version of events.
Yeah, I don't know how anybody in their right mind can support the government's version of events at any of the crash sites, alleged crash sites, right, or at Ground Zero on 9/11. If you're in your right mind and you're a thinking person, independently thinking person, there's absolutely no way that story can flush with you.
Right. Now, tomorrow, the story that we're going to run is the lead article is put out by 911truth.org, and Les Jameson and some of his cronies up there have a new campaign where they said, if you want to reach people that are unaware of 9/11, here is the top 15 reasons to doubt the official story of September 11th.
Uh-huh. And what's number one?
Number one is the 9/11 commission fraud. Well, I went through it, and not once in these 15 things is the controlled demolition
mentioned.
Can you
believe
that? Not once.
They don't even mention the controlled demolition as if it does. It's not even an important matter.
Secondly, they don't mention the Shanksville hoax. Third, they don't mention no Flight 77 at the Pentagon. So what are they mentioning? Here's one. Listen to this one, Lisa. This one's called, it's number 11. The Pakistan intelligence chief who loved everyone at once. That's one of the top 15.
Are you 15, kidding me?
No, number 11. And that's going to be in the article tomorrow. So this is what the kind of garbage they want to feed to the newbies. They call the newbies the people that are new to 9/11 research. So let me read it again.
This is what they think is important.
The Pakistan intelligence chief who loved everyone at once. That's one of the things they suggest we should talk to newcomers to the 9/11 field about. How about this was a government inside job, it was a controlled demolition, and there was no plane at Shanksville.
You know, anybody who gives these people any credence at all...
It's sickening. Sickening beyond
words.
I'm
sorry to say, if you give these people any credence at all, you're an idiot, okay?
You are. You really are. And as you can see now, there's people who are doing great work in this field. Frank Whalen.
Right.
Mark Glenn and so forth. Clay Douglas wants to start up the New American again. He's trying to raise money, and I don't know how much luck he's having, but we're a big fan of the Free American when it was published. We've interviewed Clay a number of times and been on his radio
Sam
show.
Sam and Trish Britton are doing a great job on their site, theinformationcorner.com.
Also, there's a guy named Jim Licodo who wrote a letter to Michael Moore and said to him that he should start looking into the controlled demolition of the World Trade Center towers. And he listed two sources. First of all was Professor Stephen Jones from Brigham Young. And the second one, he says, is you should go and watch the video version of 9/11 on trial. Remember our court trial that we did?
How could I forget?
He suggested that Michael Moore should watch this, since Michael Moore is a filmmaker. Now,
well,
that's good
but
work.
But the interesting thing there is 9/11truth.org, the gatekeeper crowd, is hooked up with Michael Moore.
Right.
So it'll be interesting, but it won't surprise me too much see anything out of Michael Moore.
Oh, I don't put any faith whatsoever in him.
Be aware of what's going on, and be aware of who's telling the truth and trying their damnedest to tell the truth, and who is trying their damnedest to keep a lid on the truth. And 911truth.org, we know they're going to hell. know they're going to hell for what they're doing.
And you know what? After we were done being interviewed by Frank Whalen today, I told Lisa, I said, you know what? He didn't have to interview us.
No.
He didn't have to, but he did.
Right.
Here's a guy that's sticking his neck out. He knows we're controversial. He knows that the gatekeepers and the many people in the alternative media don't want us to have our voices out there. But Frank Whalen's sticking his neck out. And you know, Lisa, after the show, I thought a good rule of thumb to see who is real and who isn't is if they have us on their show or not. I'm serious. Not trying to place like so much important on ourselves.
Well, I hate to tell you this, Victor, but that's been one of the litmus tests all along.
Yeah, that's it. If these people don't have us on their show, then you better start believing that they don't want the truth to come out.
Or at least talk about these issues.
Right.
But a lot of them wouldn't touch it with a 20-foot pole.
Yeah.
Even if we weren't on their show.
I mean, Frank Whalen was absolutely astounded by the information we were relaying about Flight 93. And where are all of the others, Lisa, that aren't talking about it? It's out there right now.
They're talking about Pakistani generals
that
who love everybody at the same time.
Yeah.
Is that the most ridiculous crap you've ever read in your life, and they sent it around?
Yeah. Or, I mean, you know, it's been months and months since we tuned in to Alex Jones. We listened to him for, what, 15, 20 minutes yesterday? We had to turn it off because it was just the same old vague New World Order. And there's nothing specific beyond that. It's just, you got to fight the New World Order. Buy my video, you know? And after 15 minutes...
Yeah, there was a lot of that. There was a lot
of... We were like, how can anyone listen to this
sales
stuff?
Sales pitch, yeah.
It's just incredible beyond words. So anyways, folks, we're going to have the 9/11truth.org article tomorrow. I don't know what we're going to talk about beyond that, but tune in tonight, the Information Corner, Sam and Trish Britton
tomorrow. It might be pre-recorded, okay. So just check on their website and see what's going on with
and
that.
And tomorrow we're going to be on Gianni Hayes' show. That's called The New World Order Disorder.
Right.
And we're going to start talking a lot about the Iranian bourse and its upcoming war in Iran. This is the most crucial issue out there right now. And we're going to start talking about that. So
looking forward to it.
Yeah. So, everybody, keep your eyes open until tomorrow because there is a lot going on.
See you then.